Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Hello and welcome to the June 4th, 2012 edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. My name is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins and the Human Hand Grenade Danny Only.
Yo.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Spooktacular.
Groovy.
Glad you could both join us. So usually we have at least two guests scheduled, but tonight we only have one, and that is Handsome Jimmy Valiant, or Boogie Woogie, or whatever you want to refer to him as, but he's Jimmy Valiant, and he's a legend in the industry, to say the least. And as far as I know, he's still wrestling fairly actively and has a training school and still a big part of wrestling and spent some time wrestling in Georgia during his career, so we should have plenty to talk to him about. But we had another big weekend in Georgia wrestling. Danny, I don't know where all you wrestled. I don't think Anarchy ran this week, did it?
No. Friday at Empire, Saturday at PCW in Porterdale.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
You are our man
PCW
on the street.
PCW had a... What's that?
I said Danny was our man on the street in Porterdale this time.
Yeah.
Duty.
So, hey, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to be on today.
Okay.
I might have to cut out early, but I'll let you know.
All right. Well, is there anything you want to talk about before we get started with other stuff?
I can't really. You know, there's nothing that's really been bugging me and that I've been itching to spout off of the mouth about. I'm still trying to, you know, lock down the dates for when I leave and figure out exactly what the situation is going to be while I'm over there. And, you know, I am. I got one. I mean, it's 2 weeks away, but it's still pretty sweet. On the 15th of June, the Hate Junkies will be making their Resistance Pro debut. As both myself and Strychnine go to wrestle for Billy Corgan's outstanding organization, and then the next night, Beyond Wrestling in assistance or association with Absolute Intense Wrestling in Cleveland will be presenting Double Trouble, I think is the name of the card, and the Hate Junkies, along with Matt Justice and the Pit Boss, will be taking on the team of Eric Corvus, Johnny Mangway, Shane Silver, and Chase Burnett, I think. But, that'd be pretty sweet, man. This will be the first long-distance road trip. The second one that me and Strick have done, the Junkies, we're doing Chicago Friday night, Cleveland Saturday. So it's looks like it'll be pretty fun.
All right. Well, who did you wrestle in Porterdale since Matt and I both missed that show?
The War Horses.
All of them?
yeah, pretty sure.
Okay. So I'm guessing you lost the match then.
Nope. Yeah, I mean, that's stiff competition, man. Is that the first War Horse match in Porterdale?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it is.
How
was
that received?
Yeah, I came out, you know, and it was three of them against me, and I went to slide my knee pads on, and when I did, they jumped me, and then they celebrated a little too much, and one by one, I dispatched of them. Hit one with the Saito suplex, hit one with a spine buster, and then I hit one with the Regal Plex and dumped him on his head. And then at the last second, another War Horse came running down the stairs and ran into the ring and quickly got lariated in the face. And I just stacked them all on top of each other and pinned them all. So I'm pretty awesome.
Devious tactics from the War Horses. Porterdale does strange things to people.
Well, the War Horses got to do everything they can to win, and then they still don't
seen a Warhorse in a while, so it's good to know that they are still a staple, if you will.
Yeah.
So they're still about somewhere.
Yeah.
How'd the main event turn out? I was very curious about how that would end up.
What was the main event?
Stephen Platinum and De La Vega.
Oh, yeah. Platinum and De La Vega against Rachel and Mark. It went really good. The crowd was into the whole thing, and then at the end of it, Shane Marks had brought a ladder into the ring, and then the Supernatural made his presence known. And apparently the next Porterdale show, the main event, is going to be a ladder match between Supernatural and Shane Marks.
All right. Well, Supernatural had a busy weekend, as did many of the other PCW and Empire wrestlers, with the regular Friday night show, then Saturday in Porterdale, and then a lot of them were part of the Monstrosity Championship Wrestling show at the Monster Bash yesterday, where we saw Supernatural come to the ring in a hearse, and he was escorted out by pallbearers in a coffin or a casket, and that was kind of the feeling of the whole show. We saw Dragula, the Gay Vampire, wrestle twice. The Washington Bullets wrestled the resurrected Von Erichs in the main event.
Wait a minute. You can't just blast past that. Which two was it?
I didn't catch. There was a really big guy with long dark hair who kept trying to apply the claw. And it's hard to. I didn't catch their, the announcers saying which Von Erichs it was, but it was hard to recognize them because their faces look a little different after all that time.
Yeah. Did they still not wear shoes?
I think it looked like they were wearing traditional gear, singlets and boots and everything, or trunks. But that was definitely a. What's that?
Things must change on the other side slightly.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to explain what happens with Monstrosity Championship Wrestling, but they did announce the next show will be another Wrestling with Pop Culture event at the Masquerade on July 11th. So mark your calendars for that, and we'll be talking more about that over the next few weeks as we get closer to the show. But it'll be a similar format as the March 28th show we did, with only one band this time, and wrestling and various other festivities and raffles and all that kind of stuff. But another big show that we should talk about was the Peach State Wrestling Alliance's 4th anniversary show, where I saw a guy wearing a Dan the Only t-shirt, which was a little funny since Dan the Only was wrestling about an hour and a half away. Yeah, I guess the main thing about that show was the main event, of course, the 5-on-5 cage match, War Games style, where I think everybody bled and Mike Jackson almost died, falling off, doing old school off the top of the cage. And I talked to Simon Sermon after the match. He said he looked up just as Mike Jackson was teetering and grabbing the fluorescent light, that somehow... He saved himself. I thought he was going to fall down and bring the fluorescent light on top of himself, but from what was that about?
Extreme. That'd be probably about, 12-ish feet to a non-padded, not that it mattered, non-padded concrete floor.
Yeah, we heard that smack when, who was it, Stitch and
Antonio Garza.
Yeah. Oof.
I didn't know Garza was going to get up from that one, but he's a tough hombre.
Yeah, well, he got up and he won the Georgia Lightweight Championship?
Yes.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. So all the titles changed hands. The exotic ones
times.
Are tag. Yeah, I think. So at the end of the night, were the exotic ones the tag team champions?
I think the belts were still left with them, but I think the Heritage title went to Action Mike Jackson at the end of the match, and then immediately to the Ultimate Dragon by way of a tire iron.
Right. Which I found out you were asking where the tire iron came from. It turns out it was there because they needed it to break down the ring. Because after the match, after the show, the ring guys were looking for the tire iron. So it wasn't just randomly stashed there. I guess he knew it was there, though. Mm-hmm. He must have watched them assemble the ring or something. But anyway, that was a good show, a big blow-off for past, 2 months or so of build-up with all that craziness with the strap match and everything else that we've been talking a lot about over the past few weeks here.
Shane Knows retains ownership control of Peach State.
And
saw the end of Wicked Nemesis and, you know, Crew Jones and J-Rod and CJ Awesome. I guess they're gone from there for a time. And then
for 6 months.
Then the big shocker hit. The returning Rick Michaels.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget?
Out of nowhere, Rick Michaels returns. And not to congratulate his longtime tag team partner either, to decimate Simon Sermon, middle of the ring. So,
yeah, and he had a new tag team partner, so I guess there's probably going to be some sort of battles over who gets to call themselves the Exotic Ones.
Cat Five.
It'd be like, absolutely. And I guess that about covers it for last weekend. I mean, there are plenty of other shows, but that's the ones that we were at. I know TNT had a show, but I don't know the results of it.
Jagged Edge retained his title.
That's not a surprise.
Not a shock there. That's about all I know about that one. We did get to see Corey Hollis, Freddie Yeah High 2 Friday night.
All right. Got to see the bottom ring rope gets snapped off in the very first match when Chip Day assaulted Jeter with a series of kicks, knocking him out of the ring and legitimately snapping the bottom rope, which was something I don't think I've ever seen.
No, I know I haven't. I thought maybe it'd just come undone, you know, just turn the turnbuckle a few times and you're back to business. But no, the rope was completely snapped. But to all the wrestlers' credit, nobody really missed a beat.
No, they even found Shane Marks found an inventive way to break a submission hold by putting his foot on the second rope.
And I think I'm just a point where I could probably watch Shane Marks and John Williams wrestle just about every night.
Oh yeah, I thought of something else too.
Okay.
I it was just tweeted earlier today by PWX Wrestling 1 that on July 7th in York, South Carolina, Danny Only will be taking on Ring of Honor star Cedric Alexander in their TV title tournament.
Talk about going out with a boom. Danny Only stayed in flames before he checks out.
Yeah.
You got a lot of momentum going into Afghanistan, so.
Yeah, hopefully people, you know, stand by their word and you know, leave the door open for me when I come back. You know, I talked to the guy. Resistance. You know, they said that I'm welcome back with open arms as soon as they get back. Beyond said the same thing. Both Steven and the guys at Anarchy had told me the same thing. So, you know, hopefully it stays that way and I can come back and a lot bigger and better shape and pick right up where I left off and, you know, go from there. If not, then, hey, I just got to climb the ladder again. You know, I did it once when I moved up here, so I can do it again.
Right. Well, I got to get Jimmy Valley on a line in just a minute. But before I do that, Danny, I want to ask you real quick if you've given any thought as to who should fill your void here on Georgia Wrestling Now, if you have any preference. Of course, the Jagged Edge has voiced his opinion very, very loudly about how he'd like to take that spot. But it's still up in the air right now.
Man, I ain't nobody, dude. I'm just a guy talking into a phone, so it ain't my call. But Jagged Edge, man, he has this natural voice to him. You know, I don't want to say charisma because I think that's the wrong word to use, but he has this vocabulary about him. I want to beat the dude's ass, but I mean, I think he'd be good on the show.
Yeah.
I think that you know, maybe Chris Nelms could be. I can't even say that with a straight face. I was gonna try it. I couldn't even do it. No, he sucks. He's terrible. He should never do anything. I don't know. I mean, maybe. Who knows, man? Maybe I'll just come back, and if I can't get back on this show, then I'll just get my dad to buy me my own radio show, and I'll just do my own show myself. And after doing it for a few months, I'll start training people on how to do it.
On how to be a champion.
Then I'll post tweets about what it's like to be a veteran in the radio business after only being in it for like a year.
Would you call it Can't Get Up Radio?
Say what?
Would you call it Can't Get Up Radio?
No, I'd probably call it something innovative, and I'd pay a lot of money to get my name under the NWA banner, and it'd be like NWA South Pro Radio or something. I don't know.
Well, speaking of the NWA, we're going to take a quick commercial break so I can get a legend from the NWA on the line. Jimmy Valiant obviously made a name for himself, a large part in NWA in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and on after that. But let's go to commercial, and I'll get him on the line. And so when we come back, hopefully we'll have Jimmy Valiant on the line.
Yay.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Tempe's of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from Wrestling with Pop Culture, the Human Hand Grenade, Danny Only, and Matt Hankins. And talk about old school. I called Jimmy Valiant's number 4 or 5 times and got a busy signal every time. So I guess we'll have to try him again later in the show. but we can talk about some other stuff until then. What's going on, guys?
I was thinking that, you know, I was gonna do my last show before I left. I was gonna do the Danny Only send off, the big FU show, and just pretty much air all my grievances about people. But then I thought, you know, if I did it the last show before I left, people would be like, "Yeah, he did it as he ran out the door." Not really thinking that I'm coming back in a year. But, you know, then I think about it, it's like, I don't even think it's worth the effort anymore, you know? Like, I was at Subway, this was probably a couple months ago, but I was at Subway, and I heard these guys behind me in line talking, and they were talking about wrestling, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, that fake wrestling stuff, blah, blah, yeah, it's fake, yeah, the chairs are plastic, blah, blah." I mean, it was just, it was the worst side, the farthest side of the worst spectrum. You know, it was just terrible, and I didn't even care enough to turn around and tell them that they were idiots. I was just like, "Oh God, it's not even. I don't even worth. Not even worth having this argument with anybody." But it's just funny that there's so many people that I think are just shit heels, man, that are just terrible and they're just killing this business. And then there's times I wonder whether or not I should even talk about it. And then I was like, "No, it's not, what's the point?" But then every once in a while I get riled up again because somebody tells me a story. And it's like, you know, like I want to send Mark Grayson an email and tell him to stop advertising some of these shows. Because I know he does, you know, was it Georgia Wrestling? It's not Georgia Wrestling History, but he does something on Facebook or you know, where he plugs all the wrestling shows. And
I
can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. I know I want to see it. But I really like Mark. You know, he's a cool dude. And, you know, God bless his son was, you know, a really good kid too. But it's just some of the shows he advertises, I want to write him and be like, "Look, you can't do this because this is not wrestling. This is shit." You know, it's like FWF is one that comes to mind. When I first moved up to Georgia and when I moved to my house out here in Decatur, I drove down to Winder because I didn't know anything about anything. All I knew was Anarchy, and I wanted to go to Anarchy, but I wasn't ready yet. So I drove down to FWF, and I saw their roster, and I saw their kids, you know, running over their ridiculous spots in the ring. And I went up to who I think might have been Leatherface, was the booker at the time. And, you know, I came up dressed nice. I was in better shape than pretty much everybody in that building. And I said, "Hey, you know, I just moved up here. I'd like an opportunity to wrestle for you. And, you know, let me know what you think. If you want to keep using me, then keep using me. You know, if not, then that's whatever." He actually, he told me, "Oh, I'm going to have to see a video. I'm going to have to see a video before I make a decision." And I was just like, "You got to be kidding me." You know, I looked around at who was there, and it just blew my mind. You know what I mean? And it's funny now to think about, it's funny now to think that, and this is in no way me having an ego, but it's like, you know, you had an opportunity to have somebody there, and there's something about me. If I get with an organization, and it probably wouldn't have lasted that long because I would have realized that they all suck and quit a long time ago. But when I have loyalty to Anarchy, I have loyalty to PCW, I have loyalty to Beyond Wrestling, I have loyalty to Resistance. And I know in the long run, people are sitting here calling me an idiot because nobody in wrestling has loyalty to the wrestlers, but I think that's bullshit. PCW is one that definitely comes to mind. You know, I think there is a loyalty there. Beyond Wrestling is the same way. You know, we all do what we can to push that product, and people still shit on it and whatever, but it's one of the top 10 YouTube wrestling channels in the world, I think. The views that they get are ridiculous, and those views drive up revenue, which means that they are a profitable company.
And the more that that happens, the more that we're able to get paid when we drive 19, 20 hours to go see him or to go wrestle for him. So, you know, I have that loyalty to Beyond Wrestling, and it's reciprocated, I think. But anyway, like I was saying, it's like I think it's funny that, you know, I went to FWF with best intent that I wanted to wrestle there, just, you know, get better and do what I could. And I was, you know, just, I'm going to have to see video of you. And you got to be fucking kidding me. I see what you got here. I mean, I'm not great, but I'm better than this. And, you know, it's kind of ironic now. And it's, you know, it's funny that the majority of the shows that they have draw under 50. Those that are coming are friends and family. More than likely are comp. And it's the same shitty people over and over and over again, putting themselves in new different angles. And, you know, there's a reason that you don't see them anywhere else outside of those two companies. I think CWO is the other one. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's that quid pro quo relationship of wrestling is I'll book you on my show, and then you book me on your show, and we'll tear this town up. And they don't. It doesn't happen that way because the same people, you know, your cousin's going to see you here, and his cousin's coming to see you there. All it is, you know, and there's a reason you don't see those guys on Anarchy, on Rampage, on PCW. There's a reason you don't read their Facebook posts about them driving to Resistance or driving to Beyond or getting tryouts, and I'm not saying I have, but getting tryouts at Ring of Honor. You know, there's a reason that John Skyler is in Tampa right now doing stuff, or he might not be in Tampa, but there's a reason that right now John Skyler and Casey McKnight are doing stuff for the WWE today and tomorrow. It's because they're good. It's because they work. It's because they put in work and do what they can. There's a reason that 90% of the roster that you read about from those shows are the exact same day in, day out, doing the same thing in a little ass place. Because they're the shit. They're terrible. And I don't care who wants to send me a message, say you want to fight me, whatever. You're all terrible and you know it. And it kills me when guys like Tommy Rich, you know, or Terry Lawler, you know, guys who have respect, will go work in these places. But then again, I know they're probably getting $200 to do it because these guys are money marks and they're idiots. And it's like, who am I to tell you not to go get a booking, you know? I wouldn't do it myself. And if they called in and booked me, I did it once. I did the one show with Chip Day. And me and Chip easily were the best thing of that entire card in front of the seven people that were there. And just the attitude, you know, is like, first of all, the fucking guy didn't even know my name. You know, he thought he was talking to Sal Rinaro. You know, not to mention I told him Danny like three times. You know, I show up there and I see the wide array of kick pads and Under Armour and shorts. And I can't really knock shorts because the Hate Junkies wear shorts. But I wore trunks that night, damn it. You know, so it's the same thing. And, you know, at the end of the night, I'm walking around to try to get paid, and the guy's like, oh, I don't have anything for you. Like, you should have told me that before I went out to wrestle. You don't tell me afterwards. He's like, I didn't beat his ass right there. I'm a wrestler. I wrestle for money. You know, people still tell me, oh, it's just some stupid hobby. No, dude, this is a job. I wrestle for money, you know. I don't wrestle for free. So I was really pissed off about that. And then when we're walking around trying to get paid, because I told the guy to pay me a beer, you know, when I'm walking around, I'm getting these veterans, and in case you didn't catch the sarcasm in that, it's big space quotes, I'm catching these veterans staring at me because I'm not helping tear down the ring. And you can almost hear them say, what, are you too good to tear down the ring? Well, that night, fuck yeah, I was. You know, I'm never too good to tear down a ring or put one up. But that night, when you bring me into your house, you tell me to wrestle for you and you don't pay me, hell no, I'm not tearing down your ring. So, it's just, they've got this sense of, you know, importance and that wrestling owes them something. And you hear them kick back and tell stories about, yeah, you remember that time we were down there in Spragwood and you got color off the blah, blah, blah. They're fucking poison and I wish they would all stop. But they're not going to. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. That was just a little rant, I guess. But, Yeah, all of you. You can all kiss my ass. Ace Haven, dude, put on 40 pounds and shut the fuck up and train for a little bit longer, and I won't rag you so bad. The reason I rag Ace Haven so bad is because he's skinny, he looks like shit, he's not very good, and he couldn't get booked anywhere, so he got his dad to buy him a company. And hey, Adam Pearce said it. What would you do? I'd do that for my kid. I can't blame his dad for doing that, but I can because it's bad for wrestling. I don't like Pro South. I don't like what goes on there. I keep, you know, I try to keep a lid on it most of the time, but I don't know. I guess I'm just in a mood tonight. You know, I go to a show there, and I wrestle, and I'm the third match, and kids are leaving before my match, and my wife is homesick with the flu, and I go out to the car to put my bag up and call her, and then I find out through the booker, who I'm not going to say who the booker was, but I find out through the booker that they don't want me back the next week, because going to my car during the show is disrespectful. So who's lying there? The booker, who's somebody I know and trust, or, you know, this kid? This kid who will book an angle via his dad, and if something happens that he doesn't like, or if somebody comes up with an idea he doesn't like, he will act like, oh, yeah, that's a really good idea, and then go tell his dad that he doesn't like it, and his dad will say, no, we're not going to do it that way. And then he can come back and put the blame on his dad and have his dad be the scapegoat. You know, and I'll say this about Terry Haven. He was a very, very, very nice man. He was very professional when I met him. He sat down, he asked me what I thought, and I told him the truth. I told him he needed to get rid of some of the people he had in there. He needed to bring in some people who were better and were going to help out, because what he had was one guy at the time was helping run things, and the rest were kids bouncing around their backyard. And I just heard that Ace Haven is training people now. I'm sorry. I'll go ahead and tell you this now. I'm going away for a year, all right? I'm going away for a year. When I come back, I'm coming into Anarchy like I've been there for 4 years, because I fucking have been. I'm coming into PCW like I've been there for 3 years or 2 years, because I have been. So I'm coming back, and there's no, hi, I'm Danny, I'm new here. No, there's none of that. Those two places are my home, and I'm just going on vacation for a little bit. But if I come back and I find out that I'm in the ring with somebody who was trained by Ace Haven, oh, God, fucking help you.
Well, Danny, we've got a caller. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to bring him on the line.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling Georgia Wrestling Now. Who is this?
Yeah, it's Larry Goodman. You know, I just wish that Danny Only would learn to speak his mind.
Yeah, he keeps a lot of stuff bottled up, I think.
Yeah, it's really not good, Danny, to keep that stuff bottled up like that. You really got to let it out. You know, let it go.
What's up, Goodman? How you doing?
I was listening to you, and it just made me think about. Well, you know, that it's sad for me to go to some shows, and I've not been to Pro South or to FWF, and, you know, at my age, I've seen a lot more shows in my past than I'm going to see in my future. So when I go to shows now, I want them to be, you know, I don't want it to be a waste of time, you know, speaking frankly. And I went to the PWA 4th anniversary show Saturday night, which was a really fun show, and the crowd had a great time and everything. But one of the things I'm thinking about as I'm sitting and watching that show is how many of these guys here would have had a job in wrestling back in the day. And I'm old enough to, of course, have gone to shows when guys made money wrestling in the territories and could make a living, maybe not a great living, but they at least made a living wrestling in the territories. And how many guys these days would, when I go to independent shows, would be able to do that? Because they're just, as we all know, there aren't any jobs now like there were
right.
back then. And on that show, there were only a handful.
Yeah.
Crew Jones, yeah. J-Rod,
and
Skyler.
Most of them were in the cage.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I imagine the shows you're talking about, Danny, it's one or none that would be, you know, have jobs in pro wrestling back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely, one or none. I mean, and this is the thing, too, is back in the day, it wasn't cookie-cutter, 6'5", 240-pound monsters.
No.
You had a little bit of everything. You had guys like Adrian Adonis and Adrian Street. And you had guys that were Dusty Rhodes. And you had guys that were Butch Reed and just big, barrel-chested motherfuckers. And, you know, you had a little bit of everything. And that variety is the spice of life. So I'm not saying that everybody needs to look like Davey Richards. God damn it, dude. If everybody looked like Davey Richards, wrestling would be boring as shit. There's a reason that Kevin Steen and Davey Richards was so interesting, because look at Kevin Steen. Kevin Steen does not look like he should be doing it, and he will be good at it. And you honestly believe that Kevin Steen will go nuts and beat the shit out of you. You know, it's just it's that believability. And so I'll say this, some of those shows, man, you know, some of the CWO and the FWS, I can't say shit about Pro South, man, because to me the only ounce of credibility on that show is Wicked Nemesis, and I guess maybe he's trying to give back. But I see all the flyers and all of those kids. I tell you this right now, I honestly believe that me and Strickland could go to one of that shows and we could beat the shit out of everyone in that locker room at the same time. I honestly believe that. And it's not a knock on him. It's just the fact I'm 33 years old, man. I'm a grown-ass man, dog. And these kids are kids, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's the fact that they're kids, and the difference between an Ace Haven and a John Skyler, who I'm willing to bet are kind of close to the same age, because Skyler's still a young buck, is the fact that Skyler looks like a damn wrestler. And Ace
he looks like a pro wrestler. He doesn't look like he just stepped out of his seat in the second row into the ring.
Exactly, and that's the thing that's what gets me. And I mean, I'm sure that there's people that don't think that I'm very good, but I've heard more of the opposite, that I look like I'm somebody who would fuck somebody up. And you know, we'll leave that to interpretation whether or not I can. But you know, Strychnine looks like he would beat the hell out of you. You know, and we don't have to be, you know, bodybuilders and models and all that stuff, you know. It's just, but yeah, like you said, there's probably, you know, one or two guys at best that could have possibly made a living, and it wouldn't have even been a good living on those.
Well, like this goes way back when I went to college in Iowa. I was in the Central States Territory, and I went to shows out there, and you know, they had it was a small crew. The whole roster might have been, you know, 16 guys. And none of them looked like bodybuilders, but they all knew how to wrestle. They could all wrestle.
They know how to work. You know, and for those who follow me on Twitter, I just retweeted something from William Regal. And I don't know if Regal gets the concept of Twitter, because I'm pretty sure it was about 1,800 characters. But it was worth reading, because it was advice. And now we live in the age where you don't have to go and pick a vet's ear and ask him questions like this, you know, to find out what you need to do. Regal just threw it out for the whole world, and he probably in the hopes that someone just reads it. And you know, I am not perfect. There's so much that I still have to work on. You know, I still have to work on psychology. I still have to work on technicality. I still have to work on my promos. You know, I still have to keep working on it. But I know enough to know when something just really, really bad. And I don't know. And it's funny too. You were talking about guys making a living doing this, and you know how it wasn't a great living. And there's one guy that was at Peach State that comes to mind when I think about someone who doesn't probably makes a living doing this, because I don't know what other job he has. But Mike Jackson is a hustler.
Yeah.
He makes it.
Yes, he is.
But here's the thing about that, though, and this is no disrespect to Mike at all, but it's how much work is he putting in for how much of a living, you know? Like, if he's making good indie pay, what does that equate to in regular pay? You know, my regular job, which I go to for anywhere from 40 to 50 hours a week, I make a shitload of money, you know, but I hear about Mike sitting out in front of Kmart and Walmart and selling tickets to these shows, and he's probably one of the main reasons that they are drawing 300 and 400 plus, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But I just got to think, you know, with the work he's putting in, you know, how much is he actually getting? Is good indie pay, you know, or is good pay just good indie pay? You know, I don't know. I don't want to delve too much into it, but it's one of those things where it's almost sad, because, you know, I think back then it was a lot easier. And now even if you're making good indie pay, you're still not making money. You know, you're not making the money that everybody wants to make. you know, well, even guys like Sammy Callahan and Danny Richards and Kenny King, and, you know, guys that are flown in and paid 200 plus per, you know, to wrestle. I don't know if that's even, you know, good enough. It's good, I guess, if you don't have any responsibilities, you know, if you don't have a house note, child support payment, anything like that, then yeah, that's awesome. That's something that I'm jealous of a lot of people for. A lot of kids that I know that are still living at home, you know, and they might be 20, 22, 23, 24, they're still living at home, but they're able to do that. You know, they're able to chase their dream a lot easier because they don't have those responsibilities. You know, they can pick up and root up for 4 weeks and go on a crazy, you know, road trip up and down the East Coast and wrestle at 20 different shows. So I'm kind of envious of them for that. But, yeah, I'm sorry. I got kind of sidetracked. But, yeah.
What do you think,
right,
Danny?
Go ahead,
Danny.
I was going to say we're getting kind of late on time. I want to try to get Jimmy Valiant on again. So if you want to ask another question real quick, Matt, go ahead. But I was going to go to another commercial break.
Just quickly, what do you think, Danny, has to happen to these young kids who seem to think they have it all right now? What do you think has to happen to them now that makes them more like a Chip Day or a Zach Daniels, who are both very young but who are getting better and who sit around and soak up the business and get a mind for it? What has to happen to these kids?
I would say they need to get humbled. Somebody needs to beat the shit out of them. But I don't think that would work, because if they go wrestle at a show and let's say it's me and I beat the shit out of them, they're just not going to come back to that show. They're going to go back to wherever they're at. They're going to shit talk me and blah, 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 and all that. So that's not going to do it. I think what it is they need to realize that they suck and that they want to get better. You know, Zach Daniels realized that he was not good, and he started listening to people. And it wasn't just me. It was other people. He started listening to people, and he started getting better and started getting better. And I'm sure Chip Day thought that he was really, really good and then realized, wait a minute, I'm not as good as I think I am. And then he started learning from people, and now he is really fucking good. So I think it's one of two things. It's either they need to be put in a position that they can't escape from, where they do get humbled and get it beaten into them, or they need to just have that self-realization of, hey, I suck pretty bad right now, so I need to get better. Let me start going to these shows and asking people what I need to do. But they're not going to do it. You know, that's the reason they've been doing it on the same circuit for the past 6 years. You know, that's what I think.
All right. On that note, I'm going to take another commercial break and try to get Jimmy Valiant on the line.
Boogie woogie.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling
at the Academy Theater in Avondale State.
We're also at the Masquerade every month or so.
Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Champions of Wrestling.
And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Champions of Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from Wrestling with Pop Culture, being joined by the human hand grenade Danny Only and Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins, and we now have handsome Jimmy Valiant on the line. Welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Hey, Jonathan. Thank you, brother. Hey, Matt. Hey, Danny. I want to tell you, first of all, guys, hey, I'm a big fan of y'all's, and hey, I listen to Georgia Wrestling Now every chance I get, man. Hey, thanks for having me on, brother.
Thanks for being here.
Boogie, boogie.
Yes, sir, brother, man.
Well, I guess could start off. We tried
Good.
To get you a little earlier in the show, but I kept getting a busy signal, so we ended up talking about, I guess to sum it up in a way that will relate to your contributions to wrestling, we were talking about how indie wrestling today is how it compares to wrestling when you were a big part of it, coming up in the 70s and 80s. So I guess we can just kind of continue on that note. Danny Only is a local indie wrestler. I don't know if you're familiar with him, Jimmy, but he's very outspoken about how he feels about certain organizations and how they compare to other organizations. But I guess, Danny, do you have anything you want to segue into with Jimmy Valiant?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I mean, go ahead and ask you your opinion as far as what you see in the landscape. And I'm not talking about the big one now, because I don't even think you really consider TNA as a big one at the moment, because they're kind of shit in the bed. But, you know, obviously there's no comparison between WWE and WWF or WWS, you know, how it was back then. But the smaller, I guess back then they called them outlaw, you know, territories, or, you know, the smaller shows like that compared to the indies that you see today. What's your opinion as far as how things have changed from, like, the caliber of talent, the quality of wrestler? What's your views on it?
Yeah, Danny. You know, first of all, I'm trying to keep the line clear, brother, man. I knew you all were going to call like 10 after, and, man, people kept calling, and I'd just be on a couple minutes, but I said, man, these cats are calling, and then someone else would call. But anyway, I apologize for that, but hey, we're on right now, brother. And,
oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, yes, sir. Hey, you know, Danny and Jonathan, Matt, hey, you know, it seemed like wrestling, brother. I started wrestling in 1964, and in fact, I'm wrestling this weekend, and so that's like 48 years, man, or close to 50 years I've been wrestling. I've been putting them boots on, and I've seen it change, you know, so much, you know, and it seemed like it changes like every 10 years, you know, and it continues to change. And, hey, man, it'll continue to change 10 more years and then 20 years, and it's all different, you know. You know, I have my wrestling camp here, you know, Boogie's Wrestling Camp in Shawsville, Virginia, and I have a Hall of Fame museum here, brother, and I'm going to invite you, Jonathan, Matt, and Danny, you know, to come out any Sunday. Hey, check out jimmyvaliant.weebly.com, and there's a map how to get here, and we're only here on Sundays 12 to 4. But hey, you know, I have a Hall of Fame museum here. I want you all to come, and the good thing about this, there's no charge. There's no charge at all. But what I do, you know, getting back to the question, what I do here at Boogie's Wrestling Camp in Virginia, this is our 20th year, man. Hey, I teach the old school, you know what it is, but I teach the new school too, you know, what the kids see now in WWE, because you have to continue, you know, to teach both, you know. But as far as like if your mother, you know, taught your sister how to make a certain family recipe, you know, and then it's up to your sister to pass it on to her daughter, and on down the line it'll stay in the family, you know. Hey, same here, you know. If you don't teach the old school, you know, it's going to be a lost art, you know. So here at the BWC, you get the best of both worlds, you know. But, it's completely changed, you know, of course, from the day I started, you know. For one thing, there wasn't no wrestling camps, you know, no schools, you know, like there is now that the kids can come and learn, you know. But when I broke in 1964, man, you know, old-timer, you know, which was Nikolai Volkov. Now, I'm not talking about Nikolai Volkov that was teamed up with the Sheik, you know, in the 80s, and you know, and then teamed up with Volkov. I'm talking about the original Nikolai Volkov. There was Boris and Nikolai Volkov brothers, and they were hot like in the 40s and the 50s, man. And these are the guys that broke me, and Dick the Bruiser, and Vern Gagne, and these guys. And the only way you could get in is for have one of them to come in and take you under their wing, and you would get actually on-the-job training in the ring, brother. And if you was a wise guy, man, or, you know, you didn't listen, or you thought you knew it all, a hot shot, brother, hey, they'd bust you up, man. They'd break your leg, and, you wouldn't get a chance. You wouldn't have a chance, you know.
I wonder how much that benefited, you know, the business. Obviously, it did, because if you look at, like I said, if you look at the quality of wrestler back then, Dick the Bruiser wasn't going to go and tell Jimmy Valiant, hey, so, you know, you might want to come check out wrestling, if he didn't think that he was good, or that he saw something in him, saw some potential to be a good wrestler. You know, you hear stories like I think Scott Hall, in one of his biographies, you know, was talking about, I can't remember who it was, but somebody came up to him in a grocery store and was like, hey, what do you do? And he's like, I'm a bouncer. And he says, have you ever thought about wrestling? And he's like, no, I never have. And he goes, you need to, you know, and I keep harping on the kid, but I don't give a shit. What's he going to do? Who's going to go up to Ace Haven at a grocery store and say, hey, have you ever thought about wrestling? You think you should do it? You know, and who knows, man, maybe at the time nobody would have came up to me, because, you know, I'm a lot bigger and meaner looking now than I was when I broke into wrestling, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. But,
right.
You know, maybe that would have been what was best. You know, there, like you said, there were no schools back then. And now if you can't get in somewhere, then hell, you just open up your own school, or go to train with Slim at Anarchy for a week and then quit and then tell everybody you're trained and, you know, just start from there. So maybe that was, you know, for the better.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly, brother. You know, and appearance, man. Appearance, you know, is so important even today. But back then, you know, my goodness, hey, all these guys had big cauliflower ears, man, 20-inch necks, you know, and I mean, they were men, man, you know, and they were, you know, they could get in there and they could take care of business in there too. If you know, if you're in there with a wise guy or something, man, they'd stretch the kids, and you know, and you just wouldn't have a chance. And brother, there's so many good quality schools out there, you know. And just like you said, hey man, there's guys being trained, man, but guys that don't know how to tie their shoes, you know, and they're out there, you know, like you said, they train you for a week, and then they say you're a wrestler, so you go and tell everybody you're a wrestler. But you're exactly right, my man. You know, if you can go and find someone that can train you, that has the knowledge, you know, and that can take you under their wing, like they took me, you know, and that way, brother, you're going to be trained the right way, and it can be a great career for you, you know, and you can then you can be proud of being a professional wrestler, man. This is the only thing I've ever done in my life, man, you know, and that's why Angel, myself, you know, we built our camp out here, and because this is something that this is the way I'm giving back, you know, because it's been so good to myself and my family, brother, and you know, people come from honestly all over the world. We're only open 4 hours a week from 12 noon to 4 o'clock, and once you get here, man, hey, there's no ticket. The pie is all free. You can go in, watch the kids train. You go in and all the buildings, man, all the Hall of Fame, the museum part, and it's just a great day. And at 4 o'clock, man, it's closed up until the next week, you know. It's really a neat thing here. So, hey, check it out, jimmyvalliant.com, man. There's a map how to get there, and please come be my guest.
Jimmy, I know you don't have much time, but I do want to mention real quick, you were in the movie Memphis Heat, which came out several months ago, and there's also a documentary just about you called Woo Mercy, The Jimmy Valiant Experience, which I watched last weekend. I'm not sure when that came out, but I know it's been out for a few months already, but it shows pretty much, I think, you know, every aspect of your career. Some of it way before my time, but, you know, your contributions to Memphis with Jerry Lawler and all those guys, and even down here in Georgia and your WWE Hall of Fame induction and everything, with all that that was mentioned in there and everything that you've experienced in your career, what are some of the highlights of your long and illustrious career? What are some of the things that stand out?
Yeah, you know, it has been, man. I was very fortunate, Jonathan, man, you know, to be able to work all the biggest territories, man, and you know, my goodness, man, you know, AWA, WWA, you know, with Bruiser and Snyder in Indianapolis, and AWA in Minnesota with Gagne, you know, and of course, WWWF, which is WWE now, you know, all in the 70s, I went three times and stayed three times, stayed over a year each time. And, you know, of course, going into Charlotte with the Crockett's, you know, all in the 80s, you know, I was there like 8 years and had, man, I wrestled all the world champions. I mean, the best, you know, the best talent, brother, man, you know, these from Bruno Sammartino, you know, of course, the Jerry the King Lawler, man, I had a run in Memphis, man. It started in 1977, and it continues to this day, man. You know, I still go in there and wrestle, you know, with Lawler and Dundee, and it's just man, there's so many high spots and highlights of my career, man. It's just I'm just blessed, you know. And Jonathan, man, I'm telling you, brother, man, I really appreciate your guys' show, man, you know, and Georgia Wrestling Now, man. It's stuff like this, stuff like Matt and Danny, and you guys just continue, man, out there doing what you're doing. And that's what I want to do, man. I just want to be a goodwill ambassador for professional wrestling, man, you know, just like you all are, you know. And, man, and I just really appreciate what you guys are doing. And, hey, just keep it up, man.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. One more quick thing I wanted to mention.
Yes,
is,
sir.
In your documentary, there's a scene from the Memphis days when you had, or when Jerry Lawler had left wrestling to pursue his music career, and then you attacked him when he was performing. You smashed a guitar over his head, which is something that wasn't nearly as common back then as it is now. But the funny thing about that is a friend of mine's dad was the bass player for the Gentrys, the band that Jerry Lawler was singing with, and he's told me this story a bunch of times where you came out and smashed Jerry Lawler with the guitar, and a big chunk of the wood from the guitar flew right past his head and almost hit him while he was playing bass still.
Yo, man, that's
but,
great.
It was funny to, like, I've heard that story, and then I'm watching the DVD, and there's that very thing, and I was like, oh, that's it right there.
you know, and the Carver sisters were there. They were singing backup, man. They were just young girls out in Memphis at that time, and, man, they were scared to death. I mean, God bless them, man. It was a serious angle, brother, man, you know, at that time. And, brother, you know, and then that time, and it also showed when he was wrestling Harley Race, Lawler just burnt me, you know, the week before, and then he had a championship match, a world championship match with Race, and I went, I came back in, flew myself in, man, and grabbed a bottle and broke a quart bottle over his head, man, and I cut him in the chest and the arm, brother, man, and they call the ambulance, man, and I got out of there. I had to fight my way out, brother, man, out of that arena, and they took him to, and they sewed his chest up, sewed his arm up, and that Saturday we do TV, man, and they zoomed in that next Saturday and showed the actual stitches in his chest and arm, which he's got scars today of it. And that thing was so hot, Jonathan, man, you know, because see, it's a personal deal, a personal issue, you know, and I had death threats on my life, man, and it was just unbelievable. But that's how we drew money, man. That's how it all happened, you know, and I had a great, great run there with Lawler in Memphis, man. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I know you need to go, but I don't know if anyone else has a quick question for you. Danny or Matt, do you guys have anything else?
I got one thing. What might get lost a little bit when you look at all you've accomplished is you were actually managed by a list of Hall of Famers. Can you talk just quickly about what it was like to be managed by some of those guys, the Jimmy Harts,
yes. First, Bobby the Brain Heenan, you know, which at that time he was called Pretty Boy Bobby Heenan, man. And I was blessed with some of the greatest managers in our business, you know. And then Ernie Roth, you know, the Grand Wizard, you know. And Lord Alfred Hayes. Jimmy, I call him the snake, but Jimmy, the mouth of the South Heart, man, you know, Captain Lou Albano, man, you know, all these guys managed me, you know, and my brother, Luscious Johnny, Captain Lou did, they were just great, and you're around the talent like that, man, and of course, you know, you learned how to talk yourself, man, so you could do the deal, and with the manager, it's just a plus. But I was blessed with all the great managers of the era. You bet. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for being part of the show, Mr. Valiant, and maybe we can get you back on sometime and talk to you a little more.
Yes. And again, I'm sorry about the earlier, brother, man. I was trying to keep this phone clear, man. All I got is just a landline here, man. You know me and Angel. But let's do it again. Please keep my number, brother, man. And y'all keep it up what you're doing, man. And whoo, man, say boogie woogie, man, feel good. I tell all my people, all my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss this one. Georgia Wrestling Now with Jonathan, Matt, and Danny. I'm out of here. Bye, son.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We just got a sound bite. That's a button. That's the sounder right there.
Yes. And if anyone's interested in that documentary, you can get it at elbowproductions.weebly.com, and that's E-L-L, elbow. It's spelled in an odd way. But anyway, time for us to wrap things up. So, Matt, I guess it's about that time.
I got no sounder. Danny only. Give me a fun fact.
Okay, fun facts with Danny only. The Twitter account, I Like Girls Daily, is amazing. And when you go into work Monday morning and you sit down to take a crap and you look at all of the tweets that I Like Girls Daily tweeted the night before, more than likely your legs will fall asleep. And when you walk out of the bathroom, it will be quite entertaining because you'll walk funny.
And along with that, Danny, you introduced me to that Twitter account as well as, I guess you'd call it its sister account. I think there's about five or six total, but there's also I Like Ass Daily.
Which is very good.
Tweet some equally entertaining images.
Yes.
It's funny because
somebody at Porterdale in the locker room was like, is that all you use Twitter for, is to look at naked pictures? I'm like, well, I mean, kind of. I mean, I like naked chicks, and it's not a bad thing, women, all right? Dudes like seeing you naked, and they like seeing naked women, and the fucking female form is beautiful, so we should see it with less clothes all the time. So just deal with it.
Yes, sir. Well, on that note, we will wrap things up, but we'll be back. I believe Monday Night Raw is going to be a three-hour Raw next week, so I think we're going to be starting at 7. And I guess we're going to move to that time once Raw goes to a permanent three-hour format, but that's not until later in July. So I forget who our guests are next week. I'm trying to look it up, but my computer's being slow.
Drew Cordero, hopefully Drew Cordero from Beyond Wrestling.
That's right, and Matt Classic from Allied Independent Wrestling Federations, which is a small sort of NWA type thing that has some promotions in Georgia and North Carolina and different places.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Drew Cordero is in 2 weeks. My bad.
Well, you had some. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Drew's
anyway,
in 2 weeks. So next week's just Matt Classic. I'll get somebody.
Oh no, next week we have Anthony Henry.
Henry?
Yeah, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yes. He confirmed today that he will call in next week because he's going to be involved in Augusta Wrestling Alliance the following weekend. And he's another big name in Georgia. So anyway, we'll have him as well next week. We'll be at 7 p.m. Go to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com to find out more about the other Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network shows, and go to WrestlingWithPopCulture.com to read about wrestling and movies and music and monsters and other stuff. And on that note, we'll talk to you next week.
Peace, bitches.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. Production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued